Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz and TJ Henning.
Welcome to it, a Tuesday. It's Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com. Presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning. Danny Burke is running the dials. It's not waterproof. Relax, breathe out, my man. It's good. Great to have you along on Hail Varsity Radio. Busy show. We'll get caught up with Mitch Sherman, ESPN.com. And magazine, talk some college football with Mitch as we do every Tuesday. We will get his pulse on his Kansas City Royals and TJ's Kansas City Royals. And I don't know that Mitch has a Soria shirt, but he's probably not wearing it today. So we'll talk some Royals, we'll talk some college football. Plenty of reaction and sound from today's practice, the third for Fall Camp 2017 for Nebraska. We will let you hear from Dante Williams. We'll let you hear from Lamar Jackson, Coach Bray. Who else? Well, it's like, who don't we have? Everybody, okay? Just, you want to hear someone from the defensive side of the ball, you'll hear them. In hour two, Rick Pizzo in the 5 o'clock jumpstart spot to get you going. Big Ten Buffet in hour two. And then Mike Babcock will talk some practice and fall camp news and notes with Babbers. Can join us today, 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Always welcome to Tap the Line to Schilling Bridge Cork and Tap House on Twitter at Hail Varsity, at Schmidt underscore radio, at TJ underscore Henning, and the email Chris at HailVarsity.com. TJ waving to me that we have a pair of Ribfest tickets for you today. Also a VIP pack of Salt Dogs baseball tickets. When? Thursday, he screams over the bulletproof glass. Thursday? How's that? Four-pack of VIP seats. Let's dive into Nebraska football in spring. And Diaco met the media. That's where we will go. Listen, as the next four-plus weeks drag on, it'll continue to be saturated with storylines and projection and conjecture. That's what I do. That's what and the media is awesome in Nebraska. Great, great coverage of your college football team, of your program. Game can't get here soon enough. By next week, you'll all feel that way. That said, right now you're looking at different things to kind of latch on to, I believe. We find it out about your team, kind of picking and choosing what's going to be put under your arm. They'll kind of shape or kind of solidify your expectation. We've hit on quarterbacks. We'll know more Thursday when the offensive line and the offensive folks will talk. You heard Riley on Sunday. You'll hear from Diaco here in a second. And you're just grabbing pieces to build up what you think this team can be, what they can do, how they'll perform. And it's never the same now as week one, as week two going into Oregon, as how this team will be mentally and physically post-Oregon by the time Wisconsin gets here in October, and then they follow it up with Ohio State. And then towards the end of the season, how's this team, how's this group, how's this offense, this defense, this special teams, this staff, and this group of 125, how do they end November? I mean, there's so many different steps to take with this football team, and really now you're really at the beginning of this journey. So let's hear about how things are going, and the big question mark, the big thought was, wow. And I don't know if you've done it. I've done it. You second guess where Nebraska's at in the secondary because of the Chris Jones injury. You just do, because you know how good he is. You know how great he can become. And it's still there for him once he recovers. But you just don't know because you've got two young pups at corner. And they're they're talented, they're athletic, but they ain't seasoned. And how's that going to work? Well, your option is the Josh Kalu question and card. And what do you do with Kalu? And you've heard Riley kind of hint, well, we haven't had that conversation. Diaco kind of kicked down the question mark door of, well, are you going to move Josh Kalu back? Well, here is Diaco's response, cut 13, to that question, that idea of moving Kalu back. And pretty emphatic here, and he goes on. But here's your answer. If you didn't know, now you do know. Kalu stayed at safety till the end of time.
Joshua Kalu could play a myriad of different positions really, really well. He's a talented player. He's a rugged, tough player. He's a smart player. We all collectively believe that safety is his natural position. We believe that from an evaluation standpoint and a future standpoint, that he would be a very, very good corner, maybe even a great corner. But in my mind, there's no doubt that he is and or will be one of the best safeties in the country, if not the very best safety in the country.
Okay, there's your answer. Is it better for Kalu to be a corner or a safety? Diaco's evaluated. Secondary coaches evaluated. Riley's evaluated. They are flat out on fire for Josh Kalu and what he can do at safety. And now you heard it from the head guy on the defensive side of the ball. More on Kalu and basically the importance here of his fit, his traits, his skill set in this new defense, and the hope and belief is it's going to click because of it.
And furthermore, the safeties are really premier positions in our defense. So in our defensive system, it's a big, big deal to have great safety play. The safeties are our quarterback. They really are. They drive a lot. There was an old commercial. I probably can't say the name with all the
P.F. Hutton
corporate sponsorship, state liabilities. So, but it was when this company talks, everybody listens. So that's Kalu and Aaron. When the safeties talk, everybody listens. They have that kind of cachet with our group. Their expectation is that much with our group. They drive.
Okay, so he's laying it out there from back to front, and you're doing a new scheme. You have a new defense. Guys need to figure out what they're doing, believe in what they're doing, feel comfortable what they're doing. It starts in defense from a defensive call to your quarterback on defense, and he communicates it. He tells you, here's where you need to be. Here's what you need to do. Line, you got your job. Linebackers, you got your job. Corners, don't get beat deep. And safeties, we're there for you. We're going to make it all okay if you screw up. Kind of a synopsis on that. But last thoughts on Kalu from Diaco. And again, if you didn't know, now you do know about Kalu and why he's so vital and what they think he can be. And think of some of the safeties at Nebraska. And I think of the Bullocks brothers, right, what they did in kind of the Tampa D. Other safeties, Nate Gary. I know he had some ups and downs, but that guy made a lot of monster plays in his career at Nebraska. And I think the Wisconsin game last year. And you need a dude like that can make plays, but first and foremost can be responsible for the other nine guys on the field. Final thoughts on Kalu from Coach Diaco answering that question about the non-move.
Specifically on him, body, big, athletic, tall, fast, those would be top traits in the safety line. But he's also demonstrative communicator, very bright, and a quick-thinking football intelligent player. So it's really a natural fit.
Okay, so he laid out the traits to you. Coach Diaco also kind of gave you a little look-see here, cut 11, as to Gary Darnell. He's the new defensive analyst and what he'll bring to the party, why he's so important to Nebraska. Another addition, Nebraska spending money to get that team to make some money. when it comes to New Year's Day, six or beyond. That's the hope.
Veteran coach, been there, done that at every level. He's got an understanding of seeing the big picture. He's got a wealth of experience of leverage liabilities, alignment liabilities, stance liabilities, communication liabilities, you know. So he could cycle back to his Rolodex of information to the middle 70s and think about something that might have hurt or helped. So it's like having an unabridged dictionary there sitting next to you.
Amen. And think about back to the middle 70s. I mean, I think of Wooderson and Dazed and Confused. We'll get into that, all right, with Jano and a donkey training camp update. But I got off the railroad track. We're talking Diaco and his chance to talk to the media, how things are going here. And it's what you want to hear, but it's what he's been seeing through three practices, an update on the defense. And again, it's things to latch on to that'll give you reason and backing as to why Nebraska can be a contender in 2017. One big thing is culture. That was asked and answered by Coach Diaco. This is new for him because, again, he was hired, what was it, January, February, something like that. I should go back and look. But the point is it was after the Tennessee beating, he got brought in. So how's the culture? How's the Diaco culture? And how's the culture as a whole continuing to evolve?
There's a great buy-in from everyone in the organization, on the team, on the unit. And everybody has at least an understanding of the language. And whether we've got the habits, whether the behavior's been habitized or not, you know, we still need time there. But we know. They know. We understand what the expectations are.
Win and play well. And one of those groups that'll help this team win, because you're going to see a ton of different offenses in the Big Ten, and you're going to see with Oregon, those young corners, what's their approach been like? How are they doing? And how are things shaping up again through three practices? We'll have more from Lamar Jackson here as the show goes on. And it was just fun to listen to Lamar talk. He's one of those guys being asked about when it comes to Diaco and their approach to getting young cornerbacks ready. A lot from Lamar. A lot of thoughts on Guy Thomas from Coach Bray. That's still to come. And had a chance to talk to Dante Williams from a confidence standpoint. His philosophy on confidence at the quarterback spot, you don't want to miss that. But here is Diaco being asked about that corner spot, getting the young guys ready, cut nine.
Day to day, we don't fly at 40,000 feet. We're not big picture group. They have work to do today, per call, per drill, per session. And if they focus on anything other than that, it's going to be a problem. Everybody's at a different developmental phase. You mentioned Chris. Chris defended almost 500 passes last year. I'm not sure how many Lamar defended, or Eric, or DiCaprio Boodle, or any of those guys. Avery. They're confident. They're excited. They're trying hard, and we're going to have ultimate faith in them. It's going to be a lot of fun. Next man in.
Okay, next man in. Thank you. Bob Diaco there. So put that into perspective. And it kind of goes hand in hand with recruiting and talent level and chasing Ohio State and chasing Michigan, chasing Wisconsin and Iowa, not in the recruiting rankings, but on the field, kind of some things we talked about yesterday. But what you see with Ohio State and Michigan a lot of times, by the end of a redshirt freshman year, Jabril Peppers is for real. He just is. Hooker is for real. Zeke Elliott, for real. You jump right in, and you adjust, and then you thrive. That's what's been common. Alabama, Florida State, that's what's been common. These guys have been good early or great late. That's how it's worked for them when they've gotten their chance. That level of player, that level of performer. And you want to talk about how quick somebody develops? That is the name of the game. You take talent, you develop it, you hope it gets good, and then you build the next man up, the depth behind. So if something does happen, guy comes in, and you theoretically don't miss a beat. You can't replace greatness. You're not going to lose Walter Payton and whoever the hell backed him up. He'll go for five a carry. No. But can he get you four? You pray. Right now, if you're Nebraska, that was painted perfectly by Diaco as to what is real in college football. Chris Jones, as a junior last year, was pretty good. He changed the game and the momentum against Indiana to give you a point and a, you know, a case study. Nebraska doesn't win, doesn't get off to a great start without him making that pick six against Indiana. Well, that was after 2 years of playing and starting for a year and a half. And as a junior, he still got targeted and had to defend 500 passes over 13 games. And he's probably the best corner they had. I mean, he was the best corner they had. That's a ton. But he's seen a lot, so he's grown with that. He's better. Lamar Jackson, not so much. How many passes did Lamar defend? Got a few thrown his way when it was Fresno State. Got a few thrown his way against Tennessee, but very, very few in between. So as good as he is, as big as he is, as fast as he is, as talented as he is, there's still time to get better. And you get better with live bullets. Case in point, Chris Jones. So just a picture there of what is real in college football. Mitch Sherman will jump in. We'll talk some college football with him. Nebraska football, Royals baseball. Mitch Sherman next on Hail Varsity.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back to it. Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning, and Mike Babcock, an hour away. Rick Pizzo, Big Ten Buffet, less than an hour. Welcome in with ESPN.com. Mitch Sherman to talk some college football, and his Kansas City Royals have been on a tear. Last night was frustrating. Mitch, how we doing?
I am doing well, Chris. How are you? And I'm enjoying the Royals. It's August now, so we can look at the standings. And what do you know? Two games out of first. So just what it looked like back in April.
That's what, yeah. We will dive into your analysis shortly on Kansas City. No, I'm in a pretty good mood. Got to check out practice, post-practice today. And
okay.
A lot of nuggets from Diaco and Lamar Jackson, Dante Williams, and just some good stuff. And started off talking about the show with the show today about just at this point between now and September, you're grabbing pieces as a fan to kind of store away as to provide that hope and substance as to why you think your team, i.e. Nebraska, can be good and contend. And I know it's just talk, and we'll see some practices, but Nebraska, they're sounding the part right now. Specifically with Coach Diaco, and the big discussion point's been Kalu, whether you move him from safety to corner, and that was answered emphatically by Diaco today. Mitch, like when you look at Nebraska here this year, and as you head into another season covering college football, you know what are some things that I think if you're looking and analyzing Nebraska that you're confident in about them? I mean, there's 1,000 questions and some answers. What do you think Nebraska has that is better than some of their opponents as they head into 2017?
Well, I felt good about the secondary coming out of spring. And obviously the loss of Chris Jones in July tempered that excitement a bit. But I still think it's a strong point of this team if Nebraska stays healthy from here on out. To hear the things that – and I read the comments, some of the comments – that Diaco made about Kalu today. I know what he's done in the past. I know the potential, the athleticism that Lamar Jackson has, and the experience that some of the other guys at the safety spots have. It seems that they have a group there in the secondary that can be, again, even without Jones, and maybe Jones becomes a part of it late in the season. But a group that can become really the polar opposite of what Nebraska had 2 years ago in Mike Riley's first season back there, really struggled to play pass defense. And I think it can be a top tier in the Big Ten group. So, and that's saying a lot when you just lost perhaps your best player. And if not your best player, then I would say certainly your best NFL prospect in that group before fall practice even began. So I feel confident in saying that Nebraska, as it goes up against the West Division in the Big Ten, can have one of the better secondaries in that group. I feel good about some of the playmakers on the offensive side. Stanley Morgan has had an off season in which I'm sure he's happy to turn a page from and get on the practice field and begin to turn the attention back to the kind of ability that he has as a receiver. I've felt for the first 2 years that I've seen him on the field in a complementary role to older guys that he was always as talented or more talented than anybody at that group and really anybody that Nebraska's had a receiver in a while. And I think he can be an NFL pass catcher. And I think teaming with Tanner Lee, that combination right there can be very, very good for Nebraska. I like what Nebraska has at running back with Trey Bryant. If he ends up being the featured back, in flashes last year, I think we saw it, and the reports that I've heard over the offseason are that he's ready to be a guy that can be a difference maker as a playmaker on offense. So I think Nebraska at that spot has a leg up on some of the competition. So you can go around the field, the different position groups, and I think some obviously are stronger than others, but those that I mentioned, I feel really good about.
Let's broaden out here with college football. And just a handful of teams you think are just going to be right there, beginning to end, vying for either knocking on a New Year's Six Bowl or playoff. And, I mean, there's the usual suspects, but is there anybody that can kind of come out of nowhere? And I look at Washington last year, and they went to the playoff. They were really good, and they previous season they were 8-6. I think it was Peterson's first year. So maybe second year, but you get my point. Who do you think could kind of catch the nation by storm as we get through 2017?
Well, the beauty of teams that come out of nowhere is on August 1st, you generally don't know a lot about them. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to sit here as practice is getting started around the country and say, wow, I feel like this team is going to be a huge surprise.
Sure, but you hear things. You're locked in.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely do I hear things. And I think I hear a lot of the same things that other people hear. And I feel like USC and Alabama and Florida State are going to be great teams. I will say that maybe Florida is a team that is going to catch some people by surprise. And that sounds strange to say about the University of Florida. I mean, this is a team that's played in the SEC championship game regularly over the past several years, but has not showed well in that game. Maybe this is the year for Florida to get some kind of an offense going. And I think somebody asked me this same question a few weeks ago, and I said LSU, and you know, it just popped into my head when I was talking about the SEC, and I go back and forth. Mm-hmm. LSU is going to play good defense, I think, with Ed Orgeron. I know, and the question has always been in recent years, what's going on with that offense? And I think Darius Juice is clearly one of the top two or three running backs in the country, so they don't miss a beat there. They had him last year and Leonard Fournette. The question is, what's the scheme going to be like for LSU? Matt Canada coming in as an offensive coordinator, is he the answer to take this team from being an ultra-talented group that tends to underachieve at some point during the season enough that it doesn't get over the hump in the nation's toughest division, the SEC West? Can this be the year for LSU to do that? And I don't think a lot of people expect that it will be. So in that sense, maybe LSU is under the radar a little bit. Maybe Florida is under the radar a little bit because you just assume that it's going to be Alabama writing its ticket again to the college football playoff after going in three of the first 3 years. I don't know. Maybe this is the year that one of those two teams figures out a way to knock the Crimson Tide off that perch and take a spot in the playoff. Or maybe the league gets two teams in, which it's hard to imagine right now. Well, not hard to imagine, but I don't think it's super likely. So who would have thought a year ago at this time that Colorado was going to be vying for a Pac-12 championship. So I don't know. I'm as interested as everybody else to see the first month of the season and get a better idea of who those teams might be.
Well, I think you're going to have four or five to six of your mainstays, and then you'll have a big game, an elimination game out of the the East in the Big Ten because they play everybody? Could Wisconsin upset the party if they win the West again? Could Nebraska thrive? Is Northwestern, is this their year? And does Stanford kind of bounce back? They finished strong, but they had some tough starts to last season. And, you know, they were 10-3 and still mauling people, but they were not Stanford early on. And then there's SC with their high wire act, and they're talented. Is UCLA going to be any good? And then what do you get out of the ACC? Because Miami could be something to fear based on their talent level and what Rick's got going down there. We're going to switch gears and talk some baseball. And, okay, I need the Mitch Sherman reaction and thumbs up or down with the Melky Cabrera addition to Kansas City.
I like it. I think Bonifacio had started to show some signs of hitting the wall as a rookie, so this gives him a chance to rest, adds depth in the outfield. I think Gordon can get some days off and get in a position to maybe play his best baseball of the year in the pennant race. You're not going to burn out Lorenzo Cain. Brandon Moss has been up and down, mainly down as the designated hitter. So all of those guys, I think, stand to benefit from Melky coming back to the mix. And I know the Royals, the core guys who have been there since his last stint with the Royals or his first stint with the Royals in 2011, that was Salvador Perez's rookie year. That was Lorenzo Cain's first taste of the big leagues in Kansas City. And then Gordon and Moustakas and Hosmer were all there. So those guys know him. And as you know, I don't want to get too analytical about this because I'm not a baseball analyst. I'm just a fan when it comes to this stuff. But as you know, a huge part of the Royals' success over the last four seasons has gone way beyond just the talent and the accumulation of talent on that roster. It's the way those guys thrive in the clubhouse and the way they love playing with each other. And it tends to really pay off in August and September and a couple times in October. So maybe this is the kind of addition that can help the Royals a lot in that area because he is a good clubhouse guy and really liked by the players on the team. And I mentioned the position players, but Danny Duffy and Joaquin Soria were part of that team too. And they're, of course, huge pieces in what the Royals have right now.
Are you sold on, I mean, when Soria's career and talent speak for itself, and I know last night was rough on him, but do you think he'll be able to finish strong, or do you think more of this will come? He's been kind of inconsistent, and he's been a little frustrated.
He's been a lot better than last year. You know, when you could argue last year that I don't even think it was an argument. It was somewhat obvious just by watching the games that he cost the Royals a chance to really be a strong contender at the end of the season. Mm-hmm. And there were 8 to 10 games, maybe more, that he blew almost individually. And I'm not saying that the Royals would have won every one of those games if somebody else had been on the mound. Maybe somebody else blows the game, but probably not all of them. And there were probably a half a dozen games that they win if you have just an average performing relief pitcher in that spot. So makes a huge difference. He's been a lot better this year. He's been very good at times this year. But there's been some cracks in the armor as we've gotten into this second half of the season, and last night was one of them. So I hope that, you know, they're going to continue to rely on him, and Yost has made that clear over the way he's used him. That's the way he is, and he continues to have confidence in players even when they struggle. And I think more often than not, that helps the entire team and it helps those players. But in a short situation, you know, when you start getting down to individual games, maybe a series against the Indians, which that will be huge when that happens, I worry about what could happen with Story on the mound. And I hope that maybe these two relievers from the Padres that they picked up last week can take some of that stress away from him, and maybe they start to use those guys in the eighth inning if Soria has another outing like he did last night.
Mitch, thanks again for the time, bud. Appreciate catching up.
Yeah, good talking to you. Take care.
Lots of things take 15 minutes, like sitting through a halftime show or running a very slow mile. Well, Buffalo Wild Wings wants to add one more to the list, the B-Dubs Fast Break Lunch. Order from this menu and you'll get your lunch in 15 minutes or it's free. So put in your order, count all the tiles on our ceiling, and voila, 15 minutes and your food has arrived. or it's on us. Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sports.
Valid for tables of six or less Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at participating locations for dine-in only. Other restrictions apply. See participating location for details.
And we're back.
Fellas, you think we could listen to the radio?
On Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
Thanks to Mitch Sherman. Rick Pizzo is 20 minutes away. Mike Babcock on the way also next hour. 7 out of 10, that's too many. The portion of unbuckled vehicle occupants killed on Nebraska roads last year, if they'd been using their seat belts, at a minimum 69 alive today. Save more lives. Follow instructions. Obey the law. Be sure you're buckled up. And law enforcement agencies on the lookout. Click it or ticket. And a message to you from the Nebraska Department of Roads and Highway Safety Office. Confidence is extremely necessary at the Big Ten level, at Division I level, at high school, at your job. You got to believe you're good and you can do it. Dante Williams does not mess around with his theory, his belief, his mantra on what you got to have as a player. Cut 18 here. This was pretty real, pretty raw from Nebraska's cornerbacks coach on what you got to be when you show up to Nebraska.
If you're not confident and you play DB, you shouldn't be here and you shouldn't be around me. I mean, that's just being honest. You shouldn't be at this level if you're not confident playing that position, because everybody's looking at you. I mean, you're out in the open field, you're out in space, and I like guys that are confident, borderline cocky. That's how you should be. And if you need somebody that's going to give you confidence, then you already have a problem anyway. You shouldn't be here.
Don't show up wanting red. You shouldn't be here if you don't show up with confidence. That's great in theory, and you'll hear from Lamar Jackson next hour. It was an issue last year. Not just from an attitude standpoint from Lamar, and he'll admit that here in a moment, but also the reality. You might kick butt and take names in California or Florida or Texas or Alabama or at Seacrest. You're not likely to come own it early. And here's Lamar about the wake-up call. Cut 22. Kind of got called out, had to decide how is he going to respond. This is a perfect dynamic of what Dante Williams is talking about. You just heard. You better show up with a bucket of confidence. Don't waver. Own it. And then the reality of having to reassess and regroup. Here's Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, but just like I said, mine wasn't right. Shake it off, not take the coaching, not take the criticism, talk back a little bit. But now, like, they ain't really got to say too much. They kind of, I'm bringing it. So if they do say something, I'm like, all right, and then keep it going. Like, I ain't worried about it. I'm got my own little plan.
You know, it's just life. Do you own it or not? Can you own a mistake? Can you accept not being good enough at a certain point of time, and then do you regroup? Do you respond? It's pretty cut and dry with life. We're talking football here, but some folks can adjust, some can't. Dante Williams here, cut 17. When it comes to working in that improvement from the young cornerback, you just heard from one of those young pups, Lamar, and the talent is there. They're continuing to try and make strides.
It's been awesome. Yeah. Because we're just growing on what we did in the spring. So you could say inexperience, but everybody had inexperience because it's a new defense. So it didn't really matter. So the guys that are here right now, they were here in the spring. So it's pretty much, it's not nothing different we have to change. It's kind of just going about our business.
So it is that true clean slate, because what they're doing now is spring. Last year was last year. It doesn't help you this year. It's new, and you're still working through it because it's new for everybody. That was kind of the point he drove home with the young guys. So they're going to keep working at it. We'll have more from Lamar Jackson next hour. Mike Babcock with us also, as he spent time with Lamar Jackson. And that transition, it's real. And it's going to be an issue that Nebraska is prepared for moving forward with who and how they're recruiting. They're going after monster fish, five-star, four-star, high three-star, high-profile programs. They're going after some dudes that Florida State's interested in, Alabama's into, USC wants, Oregon's all over, Texas. I mean, the recruiting pool that Nebraska, that pool, they're going to Hefner's, man, okay? I don't know if you still rocks the silk pajamas or not, but that's the area code Nebraska's in when it comes to recruiting. You got to look the part, you got to play the part to get to that Hefner Mansion party, okay? Got to know somebody or you're cool. Well, Nebraska's at that party. They're trying to get more Lamar Jackson types to Nebraska. High profile, high star, just freak athletes. But are you going to have instances with this similar to Lamar's, where a guy really takes it hard that first year? Because it is night and day to what he's used to. He isn't used to not dominating. He isn't used to not ruling. So how do you adjust to it? And there's kind of your edict from Coach Williams. Don't be here. Don't come if you're not ready to ball. You're expected to. And if for some reason you don't, you need to grow up and figure out a way to adjust and figure out a way to kind of carve your niche out, play well. Let's talk Trent Bray. And you've got some young guys at the linebacker spot. Guy Thomas is a guy, when Greg and I saw practice on Sunday, we're like, my God, this guy's big. He's big and he's fast. We spent some time talking about that. Now Trent Bray, his position coach, kind of reaffirmed it. And the question you have here with Guy Thomas is, what's he get? How good is he? Can he play early? Is it going to be overwhelming? Can he be a difference maker? Can you sprinkle him in? I mean, those are the things they're trying to figure out and work through. Here's Coach Bray.
That's that part we're looking to find out. So just giving him reps, force feeding him the stuff, and then seeing how we can adapt to it, what he can do for us if he can help us. So he's physically capable of doing a lot of the jobs we'd ask.
So that's his ceiling. They're trying to sprinkle in and figure out where he can be, what he can do. Here's his skill set that makes him a candidate to be a difference maker really early. Maybe.
Just long, athletic, strong. I mean, really excited not only about where he's at now, but his future. I mean, the ceiling's very high for him. Real smart kid, asks great questions, always asking questions. And so those are things you catch on when young guys are into it like that. It's really, really good to see.
He's going to be something to watch as the season moves forward. Sauter Heyman, something to watch now. Pure grown diamonds, grown in the lab instead of mined from the earth. You save 10 to 40% compared to earth mined diamonds, and they're exclusively with Sauter Heyman. Pure grown diamonds, 12th and O downtown, Lincoln South Point Pavilion, Lincoln Rod West, with your friends in Grand Island. Log on today. Go see Rick, SauterHeyman.com. We'll have a Jano update from Donkeyland. That's on the way with Hail Varsity.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
We get into some Hail Varsity mailbag, potentially. Your chance at a HailVarsity.com subscription coming up before we say goodbye to hour one. 10-minute mark. Rick Pizzo shortly. Big Ten Buffet. Mike Babcock on Lamar Jackson in practice next hour. But let's talk donkey football. And got a picture sent to me over the weekend. Pharmacist Jeff, friend of the show, dear donkey fan, and his little guy has a not even a youth, but and it's I'm gonna say toddler. We'll go toddler. Toddler Janovich jersey, because Pharmacist Jeff is the biggest Bronco fan, one of the biggest Bronco fans I know. So we got it signed in Greeley at training camp, and then this breaks out. Praise, love, perhaps, from Brock Olivo, former Missouri running back who made life hell in 1997. I'm not going to lie to you. I cursed Brock Olivo a few times in that flea kicker overtime game because Brock Olivo, out of the backfield against a Nebraska linebacker, you know, cost me money, frankly. So Brock Olivo, now a special teams guru with the Donks on Andy Janovich, and just soak this in, Nebraska fans.
Jano. He's Jano to me, my, if we had 22 Janos, we would be all right.
Okay. So when he says all right, I think of Matthew, and I think of Wooderson, and I think of the dirty hippies of the mid-70s.
All right.
Okay, thank you, McConaughey. But you have to go there, because you got the all right from Brock Olivo. Oh, this world would be all right. To the Wooderson, dazed and confused character. All right. And it sounds like Janovich is having quite an all right training camp. He is back from injury, looking well, and he will go knock down front doors in the second level. Many, many run plays this year with Denver. So I need to hear more from Brock Olivo on Andy Janovich. I mean, he is that infatuated with him.
Jano. He's Jano to me, my, if we had 22 Janos, we would be all right.
Oh, he wants the world filled with more Janos. If he could clone him, he would. If he could have an 11-man roster of Janos, he would. Good stuff from Brock Olivo. Even though he is a Missouri I-back that made life difficult one night, he is one heck of a special teams coach. Okay, we'll get you qualified and signed up now. A six-month online subscription for you to HailVarsity.com. The ultimate fan experience online for you. Unparalleled coverage. Football, basketball, baseball, volleyball, recruiting. Great staff, amazing writers, premium content you want. Caller 4, caller 5 right now, 466-3776, 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865. Recruiting news, up-to-the-minute breaking news, all for you free. A six-month online subscription, caller 4, caller 5, 466-3776, 800-825-5865.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz and TJ Henning.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. It is that time, Big Ten Buffet time with Rick Pizzo of the Big Ten Network at BTN. Rick Pizzo. Rick, how you doing, man?
Smitty, life is good, my friend, though the endless summer actually comes to an end for us BTN anchors this week. BTN Live starts today. My host and responsibilities start tomorrow. I guess the good news right now is that we actually have something concrete to talk about, something that we can actually see, instead of just throwing stuff up in the air and hoping that it sticks.
No, you're right. And there's a lot of stuff on the wall. There's a lot of stuff on the floor as we get into camp. And Nebraska's camp started Sunday. No pads, obviously. But we got a look-see at the offense and the defense. And you had a chance to see everyone in the Big Ten last week in Chicago. And just a couple of impressions. What'd you glean from media days and what stuck out to you?
Well, I'll start with Mike Riley, since I know that's what your audience is most interested in. If this is as big a year for Riley's future and Nebraska's future as we seem to be making it out to be, you couldn't tell from Mike. I mean, he was his normal self. He was laid back. He was relaxed. Feels very confident about the transition to Bob Diaco's defense. Feels remarkably confident about the transition from Tommy to Tanner at quarterback. And I guess that's not just Mike. I'm hearing a lot of positive things about that position. So When it comes to Nebraska, I feel like Mike is going in probably as confident as he's been since he arrived in Lincoln. I think the one, you know, fascinating overtone is in the East Division, why everybody seems to be believing so much in Ohio State and not giving Penn State any credit for what they did last year. It just seems like almost every question directed to Penn State is about beating Ohio State and Michigan, when in fact Penn State was the team that went to the Rose Bowl and probably should have beat USC a year ago. So I'm fascinated. You're the defending Big Ten champs, and I think James Franklin can actually still play the lack of respect card that worked so well for Mark D'Antonio for several seasons.
No, and you got to pick and choose when to play that card, but it can be effective. Yep. And I'm going to use the F word here, fluke. Do you think folks circle Ohio State because of how that Penn State game ended?
I don't think there's any doubt about it. And I think a lot of it, too, and well-deserved, is the equity that Urban Meyer as a head coach has built up throughout his career. Chris, his record is 165-29. I mean, it's absolutely foolish. So when you win that many games and you do it every year, regardless of how many guys you lose to the NFL, regardless of what your non-conference schedule is, and remember, they whacked Oklahoma last year, Norman. Now the Sooners come to Columbus, so you have the home game instead and a brand-new first-year head coach who's probably going to be trying to do some feeling out. You know how Urban does against those young guys. So, listen, I understand it. I understand why people believe it. I do believe that James Franklin can play that card, though I think you make a very good point. You can't overdo that. You can't continue to use it time and time again. Now, will Ohio State be feeling some serious revenge? Will they have that Penn State game circled this year? Absolutely, without question.
Rick Pizzo's with us, Big Ten Buffet, Hail Varsity Radio at BTN. Rick Pizzo, you'll watch him all season long on the Big Ten Network several times a week, and you'll see him at various sites, the glorious cities in college football for the Big Ten. And Rick, let's spend a second on Ohio State. We'll get further into Nebraska. And I know that Ohio State lost a lot when Herman left. They seem to feel like they've got as good or better, and that's not a knock on Herman. I just know what Wilson did at Indiana. That gives folks hope if you're a Big Ten supporter that the offense can get kind of back to what it was during the title run. Tell me about Barrett, and I know how fantastic he was when he was a freshman, and his career's great, but can he get better as a passer, or is he what he is? Can Wilson make him great?
Yes. Great question, and that's a great question. Is he going to be a great passer, like a phenomenal Big Ten or college football, one of the best passing quarterbacks? No, that's not who he is. That's not his DNA. Can he be a good enough passer to be one of the most dangerous quarterbacks in college football? Yes, because he's already done it. That's what he did his redshirt freshman year when he came in after the Braxton Miller training camp shoulder injury. He can absolutely do that. And listen, with Tom Herman was a quarterback whisperer. That's what he does. That's the position he knew. Ed Warner, his replacement, was not that guy. Ed Warner was an offensive line guy, and that's where he made his bones. And there was no question that there was a lack of harmony between what Ed Warner was trying to do last year and what Urban Meyer's offense is. And Urban Meyer makes no bones about this. Tom Herman was terrific. Kevin Wilson's going to be terrific. This is still Urban Meyer's offense, but here's the difference. Someone asked him about reports that Urban had been as hands-off with this year's offense as he's ever been before during the offseason. And Urban made a very brilliant, he made a very smart remark. He said, think about all the OCs I've had before. They're either guys that were on my staff that were elevated, or they were young up-and-comers. Think about who I have now. An established guy as an OC and a head coach. He's never had that before. So it's still Urban's offense, but he's more hands-off than he's ever been, and I think that's going to allow JT to feel a little bit looser, feel a little bit more freedom, and you know that Kevin Wilson has no problem calling plays designed to make a quarterback be the star.
No, I mean, and that's the mesh that could make them a champion again, and I want to apply it to Nebraska because I look at the West, and I look at Thorson, and I look at Hornibrook, and then I see Tanner Lee, although he's not been out for a Big Ten football game yet. I look at his skill set. I've watched him. and you can imagine big things happening for him. You said yep. harmony with Wilson and Barrett. Your reaction and kind of your prediction with Lee under the Riley Langsdorf system. I mean, could Nebraska jump expectations, and they're not getting much buzz because of Lee? Where are you on the Tanner Lee factor with Nebraska?
Yeah, I mean, listen, you know me enough, Chris, to know that I'm not a huge believer in the preseason or what you did in high school right. or even what you did at your old school. I need to see you on the field with your offense, with your current teammates. That being said, you look at the West Division. Why couldn't Tanner Lee be among, if not the best quarterback in that division? Now, Clayton Thorson has a ton of experience. He comes back. Alex Hornibrook did some good things. Both those guys have question marks. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt about it. And then you look around the rest of the league in the West. Minnesota has huge quarterback questions. Illinois with Chase Crouch. That's a quarterback question. Iowa with the departure of Beathard. That's a quarterback question. So this whole division, and Jeff Brohm comes in at Purdue, and they don't have a quarterback question. David Blau is the guy, but what are they going to do if Blau continues to throw interceptions? So when you put Tanner Lee up against that group of quarterbacks, with what Langsdorf has done with other quarterbacks at various levels of football, why can't Tanner Lee be maybe the best quarterback in the West Division this year? I think it's a legitimate possibility.
I think that's the upside for sure. Now, to pair off of that, it's going to also depend on balance in the running game. That's really the focus. Yep. is the offensive line, and you have the experience. You just got to kind of go out and do it. Do you feel better about Nebraska's O-line in 2017 as they head into camp because of some of those tough lessons they learned against Iowa, against Tennessee, against Wisconsin, not closing the deal, and for sure against Ohio State? Do you think are they what they are, or do you think they got some more in them?
You know, I think it depends a lot, Chris, on injuries. I really yeah. do, because I think one of the things that Mike Riley has talked about that sometimes goes under the radar, I know you guys cover it, but nationally when people say Nebraska and they were looking at Tommy Armstrong and the transition to Bob Biakko and all the storylines, they don't talk about the fact that Nebraska has not had a lot of depth and has had a ton of injuries over the last couple of years in the line. And that kills you. I mean, when you're an offensive-minded guy and you're trying to do different things and break in a new offense and find the right quarterback for this year, and your offensive line is not deep and they're not a group that's been together for a ton of snaps because of all the injuries, I think that is really, really hard to develop that chemistry. I think if you ask most coaches, especially coaches with an offensive background, and you ask them what's the toughest part of developing an offense from the start, most of them would tell you chemistry on the offensive line. It is huge. I mean, you look at the most successful teams in college football over the past 10, 15 years, especially those with a good running attack. Mm-hmm. They've all had offensive lines that have played together for a long time and have avoided injury. If Nebraska can do that, if they can avoid injury, then sure, that offensive line could take a step forward this year. I also think Tanner Lee puts them in a better position than Tommy Armstrong did, because Tommy could do a lot of things, but his style put a ton of stress on an offensive line. Of course, if that line doesn't stay healthy this year, then everything I just said is out the window.
You're right. I mean, it is a domino game, isn't it, between what Lee can do for the line, what Lee can do for the running game because of the threat of his ability, and conversely, you still got to block and you still got to find holes where there's none, and you still got to settle on a guy that can get you 20 carries, or you're doing it by committee hoping that you get a hot hand in some of the big games. Couple more minutes. Rick Pizzo is with us. Hail Varsity Radio at BTN Rick Pizzo on Twitter. Rick, the Diaco effect's been talked about for a long time. They do a nice job of communicating. It seems like the understanding's there, but above all, you just have a different kind of vibe and feel and buy-in and excitement. I mean, that's, you made a change, you changed yep. voices, and that's good. How good does Nebraska's D need to be? And is it something you think comes along midpoint or end of the year, or do you think they kind of hit the ground running? That's an impossible ask, I know. But it's happened before in college football. It's happened in Lincoln before.
Yeah, I think it's really hard. It's really hard for it to be an ask in week one. I do, because you can go through all the motions You can do all the stuff against your team, but until you put it on the field, you don't know. You don't know how the other team has scouted it. You don't know what the other team is going to run to try to counter it. So I think it's a really tough ask. I will say that in talking with guys that I work with who know Bob Diaco both personally and professionally, they all speak to how smart he is, and maybe more importantly, how well he relates to players. And I think that's the buy-in that you're talking about. Mm-hmm. The players understand what he wants to do. They understand how they're supposed to do it because he communicates so well. You could be the most brilliant guy in the world. Listen, I'm going to get in trouble for saying the name Charlie Weiss, who I think was really a great offensive mind, but at the college level had no idea how to communicate it to his players. And you saw the results. Now, I think Bob is the exact opposite. He knows how to explain what the fundamentals of his system are and what it means for the players if they live up to that system and play those fundamentals and how much better they can be. That's the buy-in. Plus, anytime you get a new fresh face, especially somebody with credentials like that, you're going to have something of an automatic buy-in. Mm-hmm. And I think that's going to be a huge help, especially if it doesn't fit right away. You need to keep that confidence. That confidence level will be there, and I think that's probably a little bit of a change from the last couple of years.
Well, and you know Coach Diaco, and you have colleagues that have coached with or played for. I mean, you're locked into him. He seems to be the type of guy that will adjust to the benefit of what he's got versus kind of forcing a system. I mean, there's a philosophy and kind of a discipline there with that no-seam defense that's been incredible. Well, you got to have the right pieces, and his Notre Dame team had NFL guys. And there's some potential guys like that in Lincoln, but maybe they're not there yet. They could be. He'll adjust on the fly, I guess, is what I'm asking, to kind of go with what he's got on the field. Do you think that?
Yeah, and it's not just adjusting on the fly based on what you have. It's adjusting based on what the opponent is doing, mm-hmm. too. And that's what the greatest coaches, that's what the best of all time can do. Here's what I have. I know what I have. I don't know what the other team has exactly. Obviously, you scout. I don't know exactly what they're going to do. But if they do A, I'm going to do B. And if they do B, I'm going to... He has all those boxes checked. He knows exactly what he's going to go to. What backups are better than the starters in certain situations. When is it time to adjust and back down to a more traditional style? He knows all that stuff. You don't get successful at the highest levels, especially at the places that he's been, without understanding that. And that's what has been conveyed to me from people that know him, is that he's willing to adjust. And more importantly, he knows how to adjust and how to get his players to adjust. They're not just inside a box. They're not just, here's my famous no-seam, here's the 3-4, here's how you run it. They understand that there are variations that are going to take place multiple through a game. And to say it again, he knows how to explain to them how they're going to be most successful, even with those transitions. I think it is going to be an improved defense. Is it going to be back to black shirt level? I'm not quite sure right away. Does it have the potential to get there? I absolutely believe so.
You know, that's the dynamic. You had the defense last year save a lot of games. I mean, they were responsible for some wins against West teams, and the defense got torched by the cream of the Big Ten last year. Yep. And now you're trying to kind of happy medium it so there's no torching going on, but right. But you keep points down. It's Rick Pizzo, Big Ten Network, at BTN, Rick Pizzo. And catch him as he gets rocking in studio and on site again for 2017. Rick, we'll catch up soon, man. Thanks for a few minutes today.
Schmitty, my pleasure, man. I am so glad it's just getting started. We get to do this every week for the next 4 months.
Yes, we do. It's Rick Pizzo, Big Ten Buffet, Hail Varsity Radio. Thanks to Rick. Mike Babcock will join us. We'll talk Lamar Jackson in practice. Caller 5 right now, a VIP 4-pack for Salt Dog Baseball for Thursday. Thursday tickets for you. 4-pack VIP seats to Haymarket with the Dogs. Caller 5 right now, 466-3776. 466-3776. Caller 5 now. VIP seats for you. Mike Babcock next.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back at it, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Historian, author, Hall of Famer, 39 years and counting, Nebraska excellence, Mike Babcock, a Hail Varsity with us at MD Babs on Twitter. Babbers, how are you, sir?
Hey, I'm doing good. I feel harried. You know, you get at the end of practice, and then they bring in players and coaches, and you try to think, now, which ones do I want to go to? And then you're always afraid that, hey, I missed something. You know, if I'd have gone to this guy instead of this guy, I would have learned something.
I think we learned a ton today. It was great to see a Hail Varsity party at practice with everyone down there, and so much good info today, not only from Diaco and Perella and Coach Bray and Carlos Davis, but Lamar Jackson. And we've spent some time earlier in the show talking about Lamar, and he just seems, best way I can describe it, Mike, is it at peace and kind of embracing this challenge. What did you get and take away from Lamar? I know he's got a lot on his plate. He's got a lot of talent and a lot of hype, but he seems way different now than not only just a year ago, but even before spring got rolling.
You know, I look at it and I think what a difference a year makes, and the maturity that he showed in what he said today. When he talked about how he didn't enjoy watching film of himself from last season because he realized that he wasn't given a full effort, that he would slack off at times. And I think all freshmen go through that. You know, they come in and they think that they probably know more than they do. And it's kind of a shock to the system. But sometimes it's difficult to admit that. And you know, Lamar didn't. He said basically he didn't realize that until really after spring practice this last spring, I think, that he wasn't really giving a full effort. You know, that he was doing things that he shouldn't have been doing. He wasn't approaching it as if he almost on a play-by-play basis, but. Maturity is the thing that I guess I came away from with him, what he said today to reporters. I was really impressed by that. And, man, if he, as fast as Lamar talks, if he moves that fast on the field, if he's experienced enough to do that and be in the right place, he's going to be a load for somebody to handle.
No, he's got the skills, absolutely, and I think it's a comfort level between the years, and it's just a shock to the system that I guess you don't know till you find out. And that's just kind of the process of growing up. A few minutes with Mike Babcock hitting on Nebraska football practice. Spent some time listening to Coach Diaco, and he just raved and raved and raved about Joshua Kalu, and not only just his skill set, his traits, how it enhances the defense, his leadership, but also just kind of the ability that Kalu can have and, you know, enhance this defense. I want to spend a couple of seconds there. And you hear it said about, you know, the quarterback of the defense, but it sounds to me, per Diaco, that the Kalu and Aaron Williams really live in it.
Yeah, I think so. And I thought it was interesting because I was one of those people, too, that speculated that when Chris Jones went down with the injury that they would consider moving Kalu back to corner, and Coach Booker was asked about that today, and he just said Kalu is a safety. That's not going to happen. They feel really good about him at that position, and I think that there was I think it was Lamar that also talked about Joshua a little bit, and how he's different now than he was a year ago, how he's a very serious minded about things, and of course Coach Diaco is, I think he referred to the old commercial when somebody talks, everybody listens, kind of a thing, and that's the way he described Kalu. And I definitely look for him to be a leader there at that safety position, not only because of his attitude, obviously, but because of his ability.
you know, there was some excitement. The guys are pretty fired up. It's day two. Now, 5 weeks of this before kickoff will get old. They'll put the pads on here shortly. Let's kind of round out the secondary, Mike, and you had a chance to hear from Eric Lee. What were your impressions? What was on Lee's mind?
Well, I think he seemed pretty his attitude was, here's an opportunity for me. He told us that he had already told himself after last season that he would play this year, you know, that he would make a contribution. Now, I know, you know, he's a backup last year and played primarily on special teams, had some injury things, but he told himself that was going to happen. And then with the injury to Chris Jones, obviously his opportunity increased there, but he seemed as if, from a mindset, he was ready to handle that opportunity, and certainly he has the ability again. It comes down to mindset, and I think that's the same thing. Lamar and Lee both, I think, have the right kind of a mindset. You know, they're young guys. I mean, that's the thing. They're young guys, if they've got that mindset as young guys, with the ability that they have, you got to feel good about that.
A few minutes with Mike Babcock, HaleVarsity.com and magazine at MD Babs on Twitter. Nebraska fall camp at practice number 3 and a chance to talk with some of the players. Mike, I know Thursday will be the offense, but one last thought on the defense, and that's what'd Freedom know? And how's Freedom kind of adapting and adjusting to life in the 3-4?
You know, I think it was kind of funny because somebody said, "Well, you're pretty young. It was a pretty young defense. You got a lot of young guys on defense." And Freedom said, "I don't think we're young." And then he said, "It's not about age. It's about who you are." And of course, he was really upbeat about things. And the other thing that made me laugh was that he was talking about. So someone asked him about how he was going to be used and some of the things, the way the system was going to work. And he said, "Well, that's a secret. You know, that Coach Diaco doesn't want him talking about that." Kind of the same thing that Diaco said going into the spring game. You know, if you expect to see what the defense is going to look like, you're going to be disappointed because we're not going to do things that we're going to do come fall. And that was kind of the essence of what Freedom's answer was there. It's a secret, and the reporters kind of tried to press him on it a little bit, and somebody said, "What is the secret?" And he said, "That's the secret. You'll see when we start playing." So I think his attitude, just in the interview, based on the interview, he's a guy that's going to take a leadership role. And again, I like the comment, it's not about age, it's about who you are. And I think that's going to probably characterize this defense.
Mike, that secret, I mean, are they just going to have two down linemen? Are they going to have a cover 9 look? Is that how it's shaken out?
Hey, I'm Freedom. Wait and see. You'll see what happens when the game's played. They're going to do all kinds of things. I can't remember. Was it an offensive lineman that was talking about the defense in the spring, or whether it was one of the defensive linemen talking about it? But he said that, you know, they're going to stand up, they're going to move around, they're going to have different kinds of fronts, they're going to do all kinds of things defensively, and that's what they're preparing to do. So it's the secret is that it's going to be a very versatile, multiple look defense that they're going to throw at teams. And as Freedom said, it's a secret till they get on the field, and you know it might be a game or two until we see everything that they're going to do, but might even be longer than that. But it sounds as if it's going to be a very multi-dimensional approach to things.
I think the kitchen sink will be packed for Oregon. I'm just guessing.
Yeah. Well, I would guess that that'd be right too, but I'm usually wrong every time I guess on something, so they probably got something set to exactly what they want to do there, I'm sure. But, you know, that's another thing that Coach Diaco said today. He said, "I'm not a big picture guy in the sense of you go out to practice and it's every play and it's every station and it's every – you better be specific, because if you're not, if you're not focused on the task at hand, you're probably not going to be in a position to play. So, you know, I think they're just looking to the next practice and the next station and the next next play in that practice right now.
Mike, to wrap up, do you have an over-under as we head into the season, the number of times Nebraska will throw the ball 40 times a game?
Well, you know,
and I know doesn't want to do it. Coach Riley doesn't want to do it. I'm just gets back to the O-line and the run game. Do you think they'll be forced to?
Yeah, and I'm going to say under, only because I you know, Coach Riley calls it quicks, you know, or whatever. They're going to do a lot of stuff like Bill Callahan did. I mean, what Marlon Lucky caught 71 passes one year, and he was a running back or whatever. They're going to do that kind of stuff. So I'm saying under only because when you say over in a situation like that, I think people think you're going to be mid-60s Daryl LaMonica, the Mad Bomber, you know, throwing it down the field all the time. I don't think they're going to do it that way.
Well, I mean, the offense, controlled passing attack, and the thing that I think kind of like Tommy could do, he made a lot of plays, but I think you have another example of with Lee, with his arm, he can keep you in a lot of games and give you a chance to win a lot of ball games based on his fit. Do you agree with that?
Oh, yeah, no question. And I think that Tanner Lee is the kind of guy that if you wanted to line up and fire the ball down the field a lot, he could do that, but I don't think that that's, you know, they want him to manage the game, and they want him to Sean Mannion, whose name always comes up because of his success at Oregon State, for his career, he completed 63% of his passes for his career. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, he had interceptions, and he threw a lot of touchdown passes as well, but 63%, I mean, think about that. That's pretty impressive, and that's what they want to accomplish is they want to be an efficient passing game. So that doesn't mean they're going to just line up and haul off and throw it down the field. They're going to use those backs. They're going to use the short passes, and that's why I say that. I just look at 40 as you know, people hear that and they think, oh boy, here they go. You know, they're just going to line up and fire it all over the place. And I think it's going to be more controlled than that. I think they're going to be more efficient than that.
Mike Babcock, HaleVarsity.com and magazine at MD Babs on Twitter. Mike, thanks for a few minutes, bud.
Hey, great talking to you.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HaleVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hale Varsity Radio.
Big thanks to Mike Babcock. Great chat about Lamar Jackson. More comments from Lamar Jackson here. Kind of reinforce what we talked about, and that's kind of what blew me away today after practice. Not only Diaco's praise on Kalu at safety, the effect the player of Kalu's caliber will have at safety, and Aaron Williams for Nebraska, but also Lamar Jackson, and just a lot of audio today on various defensive players who spent time talking to the media. And also some of the coaches. You heard Dante Williams' zero tolerance on confidence. You have it, you bring it, you keep it, or you don't belong. We had that comment earlier, but this is Lamar. And the reason I asked Coach Dante about confidence is because you had one of your best players, highest recruits, struggle with it last year in Lamar Jackson. Well, Lamar spent some time, opened up a bit here, on that transition to Division I.
Honestly, I feel like a lot of people, I feel like that's the case with a lot of people, because honestly, you don't know what you're going to, like, what's going to hit you. So when you come in, you kind of just hoping, like, you finish, like, they say, like, oh, college football playbooks. Like, everything ain't what, like, everybody say, but at the same time, it's another level. Like, you come in, I mean, like, it ain't just like high school football. You ain't finna be the best. You ain't finna be able to walk around. It's a business. So you got to come to work. Like, and that's the biggest difference, just coming to work rather than coming to just play, but at the same time, having fun.
So, I mean, just some words of wisdom there from a 19-year-old sophomore now who thought, I'm frickin' Lamar Jackson, and you're not going to catch a ball on me. And that's very open and honest here. Lamar was asked about when did you notice it was different at Nebraska, or just from high school, from Elk Grove, while you were playing zone read quarterback and safety?
I noticed that a little bit early, but now I'm embracing it, if that makes sense. Like, I already knew, like, last year, like, I struggled. Like, the days, like, when I feel like, dang, it's getting hard. Like, I'm shutting down. Like, I'm finna go through the motion. Like, I ain't got nothing in the tank. But now I'm emptying the tank. I'm not holding nothing back. I'm working.
Yeah. A year ago, if it ain't going his way, how do you react to the adversity? Check out, half-ass it, or do you fight? More from Lamar Jackson. And it's kind of the question that Babcock asked him about. I mean, it was the question Mike asked him about, but, and we're guilty of this. It doesn't matter your age. Think back to when you were 15 through 18 in life compared to however old you are now. If you're in your early 20s, I'll trade you. If you're in your mid-30s, 40s, 60s, 50, whatever your age is. But it was a point in life in your teens where you thought you were bulletproof and you knew it all. And that was something Lamar was battling.
It's more like your own personal, like, ego, and, you know, like it's like, it's not even about just knowing. It's just you not really, it's just you, I don't know how to really explain it. It's just like you have your own little ego and stuff like that. So you feel like whatever, like, I'm not going to listen to what you're saying. Like, I'm going to be all right. Like, but not rather than actually listening and taking bits and pieces of, like, good information that's going to help you and implement it into your game.
Well, you got to get humbled. And then you got to respond the right way. And interesting, as Lamar Jackson asked about Chris Jones, did he learn from Chris Jones? Did Jones kind of rub off on him? And at first they weren't down together, but now I think Lamar appreciates Chris Jones kind of telling him how it is, not the "I told you so." That's not it, but just being through it, the reality of college football, what it is. And here is Lamar Jackson on Chris Jones and their relationship.
I mean, honestly, I feel like he sees, like, he knows, like, because he's been around. He's seen me my freshman year. Me and Chris was bumping heads freshman year just because, like, we was totally different. Like, I was more the finesse guy. He was the more, I'm quiet, I'm going to work. Like, don't be around me, distract me. And I was the one laughing. How, like, so, but now he sees, like, he knows, like, we didn't grow closer together. He sees my mindset changing. He sees me working. So, honestly, like, he excited for me. He said he can't wait to watch me play and stuff like that. So, he see me growing. So, it ain't really too much he say, like, individually.
So, some words of wisdom a year ago: shut up and play, get focused, be serious. This ain't playtime. And Lamar gets it now. And now Lamar's kind of reaching out in there for Jones. And a final thought on that attitude change from Lamar Jackson.
It was just growth, honestly, in myself, just maturity, just not being happy with what I did my freshman year, not being proud of, like, for the first time ever, honestly, like, feeling like I did my thing that season or whatever the case may be. But it's just me personally, and at the same time, me knowing that I can be better than what I showed and all that stuff like that, and just mainly maturity. So that's what helped me switch my mindset and stuff like that.
He was embarrassed. He was frustrated. He was angry. He'd never experienced that in his life, where it wasn't going his way on the football field, and he responded appropriately. Last thought here from Lamar Jackson on Chris Jones and that injury, because he was asked about, you know, what happened with, we know Chris Jones had surgery, we know he's busting tail to recover, but what happened that day?
Yeah, I mean, that's the saddest thing to me. But at the same time, I'm not finna look at it like, oh, like, I feel bad for you, because no, he don't want that. Like, he want everybody to keep doing what they're doing. He gonna get back. He said God got a plan. So he high spirited too. So he, I mean, it's a blow. But at the same time, like, even when he heard it, like, he bounced up, and, like, I think he ran like one or two more sprints. So, like, we didn't know what it was until we found out. And now it's just kind of like, damn.
Okay, that was how Jones kind of reacted to the injury. There's a cut before, I think, 30, about just how it was a freak accident.
Yeah, it was honestly some freak stuff. Like, it was just some summer sprints, and jumped up on the cement, and it was just like he didn't know the severity of it, and then it was what it was.
All right, there is your Lamar Jackson update. Pretty honest and open and just pretty real today with his growth, his spot, where he wants to go, and how the guys are kind of reacting to Chris Jones. We'll give caller 5 a chance at a pair of Ribfest tickets. I'm giving away Ribfest tickets all week long here on Hail Varsity and ESPN. So caller 5, a pair of Ribfest tickets are yours right now. 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Caller 5, Ribfest tickets right now for you. A pair of them. And you'll have to tell me how it tastes when you do get there. Because Ribfest's fun. Ton of fun. Great barbecue. Now, the problem with Ribfest is you need to fast for days before you go. Because you got to do the ribs, you got to do the brisket, you got to do the pulled pork. I hope there's some sort of bacon. Maybe, likely, possibly. So I just need a report on how your rib fest was. It's great. Caller 5 466-3776 800-825-5865. Rib fest tickets yours, a pair of them. We'll wind down a Tuesday next.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
A quick goodbye as a busy Tuesday comes to a screeching halt. Mitch Sherman was awesome. Rick Pizzo was awesome. Mike Babcock, amazing. And lots we covered with Nebraska football, their practice, Bob Diaco. The title of the podcast will be the Diaco Dialect. Talked a lot today. Specifically on Kalu, you heard from Lamar Jackson. And for old time's sake, let's talk and hear from Dante Williams, cut 18, to leave you with the confidence policy for Nebraska cornerbacks. Don't be sheepish. We erase them all? Cut 18. Maybe. And
hey, DB, you shouldn't be here and you shouldn't be around me. I mean, that's just being honest. You shouldn't be at this level if you're not confident playing that position, because everybody's looking at you. I mean, you're out in the open field, you're out in space, and I like guys that are confident, borderline cocky. That's how you should be. And if you need somebody that's going to give you confidence, then you already have a problem anyway. You shouldn't be here.
Don't be here. Away from me. I like it. Confidence. Good stuff. Tomorrow on the program, we're dialed in. Zach Taylor, Los Angeles Rams quarterback coach, new member of the Nebraska Football Hall of Fame, and roommate to Blackshirt Husker NFLer Jay Moore. Bird will be in tomorrow. Blair Kirchhoff, Kansas City star, will join us tomorrow to talk college football, Royals, Chiefs. Mike Shewhart, Shuey, will be in a Wilderness Ridge Golf Wednesday. And as we say goodbye to TJ Henning tomorrow, he's not suspended. There's no failure to appear warrant out for him. We are lovingly hugging him and then sending his ass to Omaha because he's incredible. Klausburn will join us with a message. I don't know if it's of well wishes. But it'll be a hello and goodbye. So we will, how do I say this? Celebrate, remember, thank you. TJ Henning's 2.5 years of doing time, I mean spending time, with Hail Varsity Radio. And TJ's been incredible for us. And he'll be incredible tomorrow. Danny is ready to rock, and he is getting evil glares from me all show long because It's all good. But no, we'll have a happy thank you tomorrow. And Blair Kirkhoff and Zach Taylor and Klaus Byrne and Mike Schuhart and Jay Moore will help celebrate a TJ Henning farewell pâté. And that's about the gist of it. So big thanks, Mitch Sherman and Mike Babcock and Rick Pizzo today. As if you missed the show, it's real easy to take with you. I know playlists are good. I've got my playlists for the pool or the golf course. But how about a podcast? It is Husker Football 2017, and it is getting you ready and ripe for camp. Give us a chance on the podcast if you like. iTunes, Hail Varsity, the ESPN Lincoln app, real easy to find the podcast. Hour and 20 minutes of your time. And, of course, HailVarsity.com. Talk to you tomorrow at 4 with Hail Varsity presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Take care.